Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 and 18 through 24. Hear now these words. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Who are we, and have we forgotten who we are? That's one of the primary concerns in these chapters that we've been reading through the summer series in 1 John. And last week, we read the challenging but important section of chapter 2 where John warns us about Antichrist. And no, it's not evil Superman or scary Jesus that he's talking about, but what John is talking about when he mentions these Antichrists is anything or anyone that tries to fulfill what only God can fulfill in our lives. And today, he continues this theme by telling us, you don't need to look towards anything else. You don't need to look towards any of that junk, but remember that you are children of God. Remember, you are God's children now. But have we forgotten it? Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us our family of faith. You call us your own. You claim us and have a call for our lives. Help us remember it, help us discover it, and help us live into it this day. Amen. Something that's talked a lot about in my generation, and that generation is millennial. Don't let the bald head and beard fool you. But what we talk a lot about is what's called imposter syndrome. If you've never heard what imposter syndrome is, it's that voice in your head that we all have, but that we think only we have, that says you aren't good enough. That voice that wants you to doubt your skills, doubt your talents or your accomplishments, and that at any moment you'll be exposed as a fraud, that you don't actually belong or that you aren't good enough. If you've been kept up at night by these thoughts, you aren't alone. But this internalized fear, it keeps us living at the edge, head on a swivel, thinking that you've only gotten so far because of luck, and that you never know when the rug will be pulled out from underneath you and your luck will run out. I know that when I hear people talk about imposter syndrome and that I need to cast away these doubts, my first response is usually, no, you may have imposter syndrome, but me, I'm a pro at faking it until I make it. And look where it's gotten me. I faked it all the way to preaching in one of our most beautiful sanctuaries in our denomination. But when we let these doubts, let these fears become a little too comfortable in our heads and our souls, we become deeply deceived and we forget God's claim on our lives. Neurologist Oliver Sacks tells the story of a woman named Madeline in his book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Madeline was born blind and with cerebral palsy, and yet she was brilliant, leading Dr. Sacks to tell her one day after a conversation, "You must have read a tremendous amount, Madeline. You must be really at home with Braille." "No, I'm not," Madeline replied. "All my reading has been done for me. I can't read Braille, not a single word. I can't do anything with my hands. They are completely useless." Now, this confused Dr. Sacks. Hands aren't usually impacted by cerebral palsy. Her hands should have had the potential to be perfectly good hands, and yet they weren't. You see, Madeline was born into a very protective and caring family who took care of her every need, leading Dr. Sacks to begin to think that because she had had everything done for her, she never learned that she could use her hands, never been told that she could use her hands. She had no memory of using her hands as a small child, calling them instead her God-forsaken lumps of dough that don't even feel a part of me. Madeline had never fed herself, never reached out for herself, never grabbed someone's hand to hold. She lived for 60 years as if she were a person without hands. But cerebral palsy shouldn't be impacting her hands. So Dr. Sacks tried an experiment. He had the nurses, when they'd deliver her food, set it slightly out of reach as if by accident. When one day it finally happened, what had never happened before, impatient, hungry, instead of waiting passively and patiently, Madeline reached out an arm, groped, found a bagel, and brought it to her mouth. This was the first use of her hands, her first manual act in 60 years. Madeline would go on to progress at amazing speed. Eventually, she began asking for clay and started sculpting, where her hands, Dr. Sacks described, transformed into hands not of someone simply exploring, but the hands of an artist, a meditative and creative mind just opened to the full sensuous and spiritual reality of the world. Madeline never really thought that she could use her hands, let alone become an artist, certainly never at the age of 60. She had never been told and had forgotten memories from her beginning, her true capabilities never revealed. Chapter 3 of 1 John, we are told who we are for either the first time or we're reminded if we've forgotten that we are children of God. Unfortunately, too many of us have forgotten that we're children of God. Some of us may have grown up in the church being told that we are all part of the family of faith, that we are children of God, but have a hard time allowing ourselves to believe it. Sure, my neighbor there, obviously a child of God. I see the things they do, the way they act. They're obviously a child of God, but me. If only people knew the doubts I have or the things I say when I'm cut off driving or my internal struggles, maybe they're a child of God, but surely God wouldn't have a kid like me. See what love God has given us, John writes, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now, Scripture says. Some of us may have imposter syndrome when it comes to believing we are children of God. For some of us, and certainly for many in the world, their story may be closer to Madeline's. Too many people have not been told they are children of God. They don't know this beautiful truth of who they are deep down. Instead, people are left looking towards other things for fulfillment and identity, what John called last week anti-Christ, opposites of Jesus, and these people, us, are being let down. We are let down when we don't believe or know that we are children of God. John says it, saying, the reason the world does not know us as children of God is because they do not know God. Too many folks have no clue that they belong to this grand family of faith, and too often it's because we haven't told them the good news. I've heard, and I know all of you have too, that when people too often encounter the big C, capital C, Church Universal, they aren't told about the love God has given us. They aren't told about the abundant new life found in Jesus Christ. They certainly aren't called children of God, but they're told a different message, a message of judgment, of shame, a message of fall in line, of leave who you are outside the church, change who you are, or you won't like where you'll end up. When we hear those messages, it feeds into our imposter syndrome. We already hear that voice of lies in our head, and when the church says it, that voice begins to sound like God. Imagine if Madeline hadn't had a doctor believe in her. Think creatively about the abundant life she could be living instead of just treating her limitations. John wants us to hear a different voice, claim a different identity, and believe in what God has intended for us as children of God. But it's not enough to just say, yes, I am a child of God. It's got to mean something for us. We got to claim it and act like it. Or as John explains it, little children, children of God, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us love and live like the children of God we are. St. Augustine, in his homiletical reflections over 1 John, writes on this matter, writing, for those who are called children and are not children, what good is the name if they are not? How many are called physicians but don't know how to heal? How many are called watchers but sleep all night long? And so it is, many are called Christians and yet in their lives are found not to be, because they are not actually what they are called. His point is that if we are to remember that we are children of God, yes, the first step is quieting that internal voice and internally claiming it as our central identity, but that being children of God is not simply words or claims, but that as children of God, we go through a transformative process, connecting to Paul's words in Colossians 1, where he writes, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And God has brought us into the kingdom of Jesus, in whom we have redemption, new life, forgiveness of sins. I know a lot of us, after the last year, after the last few years maybe even after a lifetime, we find ourselves raw, hurt, a little messy. Maybe we're doubting who we are or who God is. Maybe we've even forgotten. If we haven't forgotten, a whole lot of people around us have. And yet the gospel antidote that John reminds us here is that our story, it doesn't have to begin or end there. Our story is one that we are God's children now. And because we are God's children, we can love not in word and speech, but in truth and action. We can love with our hands, even if we've forgotten, even if we've doubted, even if we've never used our hands before. And as we love Jesus and one another, John promises that we begin to abide in God, and God is alive in us. And if we can remember this, remember who we are and whose we are, the world will know God. And that's good news. Would you please pray with me? Gracious God, you have the greatest story ever told, and that story is continued to be told in our lives, in our love. Help us remember that story. Help us live that story. Help us tell that story to a world seeking your light, desperately needing your love. Amen. Now may you go forth in the light and love of God, knowing that you are a child of God. Remember, you are a child of God now. May it be so today and forevermore. May you go in peace. Amen.